Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Hey, everyone. First email is not a question. Just wanted to share it. It came from one of our listeners after a conversation last week about irrational fears. Subject line, lawnmowers and rocks. Hey, John, it was kind of surreal for you to tell your fear of lawnmowers and rocks being thrown on the Bloody Disgusting podcast. When I was 10, my dad was mowing the lawn and this happened. He told us to go inside, but we didn't listen and he hit a rock. The rock flew out and hit me in the eye. All is well. No permanent damage. And still have sight in the eye. So just letting you know that this is a rational fear and can happen. To this day, I always turn away from mowers and hate when they don't have shoot guards. Thanks for the amazing podcast. You three do. I look forward to it every Wednesday. I'm also a Patreon creepy. Thank you, Rick Morrison.
Rick.
Cool. So I will take the rocks off of my irrational fears and I will keep the lawnmower blades cutting off my feet in the irrational fears column.
Okay.
That's fair. And I want to use this opportunity also to let people know, we understand, like, after three years of doing this? Yeah. Over almost four? We're going on four? I don't know. Time has no meaning since quarantine when we started this. So when we understand the questions are, you know, we kind of deal with the same questions over and over again. So we'd like to kind of give you all an opportunity just to share things. Like, what are something about the show that made you remember a fond memory about horror movies or a theater going experience, a movie that you just saw, a movie that you haven't heard us talk about that you think either we should see or you think other people should see? We'll open it up. Like, if you just sharing things you love, just like we like to do, we're more than happy to hear it, to share it, and to see what you have to say. That said, we might also be doing something a little bit different. And this was a suggestion from @AprilJPizza on Twitter. That they'd love to hear our favorite new horror movies from each month. Be a great segment, in my opinion. I always love suggestions about what to watch that month. And I think because I'm actually going to theaters or trying to go to theaters more, I can actually participate in this. So I look forward to this one too. So what are some of our favorite movies, new or old, that we love that we saw in this last month of April? So we'll go around. I'll start simple because I'm in the middle of rewatching it again. Thank you, Shudder. Is Late Night with the Devil. Saw it in the theaters, rewatching it now, kind of noticing like the stuff I didn't notice in the theaters, like super subtle little bits and pieces. Maybe they're not there. Maybe I'm imagining and just juxtaposing it for myself. I love this movie. There is something about David S. Malchin's performance in this that it's almost hypnotic. I want him to have a late night show now so I can watch this late night show. But I wanted to have the skits and the bits and all the stuff you see in kind of the montage at the beginning. I love it. I'm looking forward to watching the rest of it today and probably rewatching it again this week. It's kind of, I think this might be kind of my new Deadstream.
Nice.
While I cycle through Deadstream on a regular occasion too. How about you, Megan? You've seen lots lately.
I know. And now I don't know what's April.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't know if this is in April or March. So to just be safe, I'm just going to pick a movie that I know for sure I watched in April, I think. And I'm going to go with the older one just because I feel like it doesn't matter if I get this wrong. But I thought Mute Witness was really fun. I thought that that was... like, thank you to all the streaming services that somehow unearth these movies that slipped through the cracks or we didn't pick them off of the video shelves when we were kids. But yeah, that one's a really fun. I think it gets over the top and crazy silly, which is also part of the appeal. But those early cat and mouse chases are so intense. Also, really random use of Obi-Wan Kenobi cameo. The actor, Alex Guinness. He's just like, I'm trying to remember what I read about this, where he was planned to be the cameo before this movie even came to be a thing. And the way that this cameo happens, you're like, I don't think he's on set. I think they shot this separately. He's not even credited in the credits as anybody. It's just mystery guest star is literally what his name is in the trailer. And then when you see it happen in the movie, you're like, yeah, I don't, this is bizarre. And that's also part of the movie's charm. It's a weird one and I love it. Thanks, Shudder.
See, I need to finish watching this now because I actually did start this.
Oh,
and
yeah?
And I was kind of busy. I was working. I was just looking for something to turn on. And I really only got through like the opening scene. And I was so confused with the opening scene. I was like, what is happening here? And then you realize like, oh, okay. But I was like, is this tongue in cheek? Is this just bizarre? Are they just having fun?
I think a little funny, everything.
So yeah, now I definitely have to go check it out. It's available on Shudder, AMC Plus for those who want to go check it out.
There you go.
How about you, Zena?
Yeah, definitely Mute Witness. I feel like that movie's perfection. But I'm going to go with Arcadian. I really had like a lot of fun with that one. There's action, there's horror, there's a little bit of heart. The creatures look so cool. Right now it's still in theaters. And then I do have one more that's a show. And I didn't talk about it because it's not really a horror, but what happens in it is pretty horrific. And that's Baby Reindeer on Netflix. Like, if you want to be destroyed, like...
Don't we all?
Watch this show. And I really was not expecting it. It's basically about a guy working at a bar, and this woman just starts stalking him. Like, she starts stalking him hardcore, following him everywhere, emails. Yeah, I binge watched it. I didn't take a break. If you do watch it, please take a break. I wish I would have done that just to like pace myself, but it's really, really good.
Is that the month of like destroying things? Because over the weekend, like the coffee table finally released.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And that
saw.
One is going to really destroy anybody's day, week, month, maybe. Very good. Very grim.
Ooh. Okay. Yeah. I saw that it was playing in some theaters and I was thinking about checking it out, but I needed a break. Like, especially.
Yeah, like for a plot setup for this movie, just to give you an idea, it's a husband really, really wants this coffee table. It's hideous. His wife hates it, but he basically coerces her into getting this coffee table. And then she leaves him alone with their baby while she goes grocery shopping and while he's assembling the coffee table. And it kills the baby.
Oh.
And the rest of the movie is him dealing with the fallout of that. And it's so intense. And it's so grim. Yeah, the look on John's face. His eyes are bulged. So, yeah. You know right away from that setup whether you're in the mindset for it or not.
Well, speaking of grim things that'll ruin your day, welcome to the Bloody Disgusting Podcast, everyone. The podcast where we discuss all the disgusting things we love in the horror world. And to help us discuss the disgusting, you know her as the movie critic for Bloody Disgusting, horror movie fanatic and journalist Megan Navarro. Hey, Megan.
Hi.
And you know her from YouTube channel and website Real Queen of Horror and her infinite love for the genre and the head of Bloody Disgusting's TikTok, Zena Dixon. Hey, Zena.
Hey.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey.
Hey.
And I'm John. If you're listening to this on a Wednesday when the episode drops, we hope your week's been filled with all the best kinds of horror. And if not, we're going to do a quick round the table for the movies, books, games, or anything else in horror that are making the three of us smile right now. Maybe there'll be things that'll make you smile too. So, Zena, what's been filling your heart this week?
Infested. Infested!
What's been infesting your heart this week?
So, and the movie Infested, it's a spider movie. You guys know I hate spiders. It will be hitting Shudder this Friday on the 26th. So basically, these residents at a rundown apartment building in France, they're going up against these deadly, rapidly reproducing spiders. And I had a screener earlier this month, so I just had to keep this in. And I just kept on thinking about it, like, okay, I hate spiders, and really rarely does this ever happen where I'm like scared. You know, while watching a movie, this movie really did scare me. I love the pacing. I love like the storyline. The spiders are truly just terrifying. If you hate spiders, I feel like just still watch this movie anyway, because it is a lot of fun, you know? And I'll just say, like, this is probably the scariest movie of 2024 that I watched so far. Again, because I hate spiders. So yeah, it delivered like really creepy looking spiders. I found that I just felt itchy while watching. In general, I always check my shoes for, like, you know, spider egg sex. But now, who needs shoes? I don't wear them anymore because I don't see the point. You could just wear sandals, nice little cute little sandals, and call it a day. But yeah, if you hate spiders, I think that you should check it out. Oh, and a cool thing about it is with the director, hopefully I'm saying his name correct, Sebastian Vanacek. So he's going to be directing the next Evil Dead movie. So yeah. Which I thought was like really cool. Like, this is the movie that, you know, got him that. And this is his feature, his directorial feature. Isn't that cool?
It is.
Very.
I just want to add, ooh, because I also watched this over the weekend, like, you're talking about don't need shoes. Yet the opening scene, there's a couple of people wearing sandals, and I'm like, put shoes on! Put shoes on!
True. But yeah.
So we just need hoverboards for this movie. Just hover. No floor. No shoe. Nothing. Just fly. Just tuck your. Just go into fetal position and go.
Maybe we actually don't even need feet anymore. You know, maybe we should hop on those lawnmowers.
We just hover. We just hover in little fetal positions. Everything's safe. No spiders. Yeah.
Gosh. We have created a weird world to live in.
But no, I won't spoil it or anything like that. But yeah, it's a really good time.
I will. I also just want to say I'm not arachnophobic, so I have an easier time of movies like this. So I'm like, these are, because this movie, you know, Sting was out earlier this month, and that uses practical effects and VFX. This one uses real spiders and then obvious VFX. So before they get big enough where you got to use the VFX, I'm like, those are just huntsman spiders, guys. It's okay.
No, what?
Megan, what a little furry guy.
Oh, it's a huntsman. They're fast and big, but they're harmless. No. I mean, this movie's version is not. Like, I will come save you from the spiders, basically.
Listen, there's...
Just, can I tell you this side? I'm just going to derail this whole episode. I'm sorry. But I live in Houston, which is very close to the Gulf, which means that, you know, California and LA gets earthquakes. We get tropical storms and hurricanes. And so this was years ago at this point. But I lost a car in a flood. It was parked outside and... you know, the flood waters rose high enough that car was total. So, and that was like everybody, like all of Houston was practically forced to buy new cars that year. And so they were pulling in cars from like all over the different parts of the whole state, really, and probably beyond, just because the demand was so high. So anyways, that's a long way of saying that when I got this new car, you do the whole inspection, and there was this pretty big spider beneath the bumper, like while I was doing the inspection, and the dealer just, he grabbed it, got it away, done. All right, cool. Well, it was the start of many. Oh, it was a brown widow spider, and my car, I got a new car infested with brown widows, and those things were like, that will induce arachnophobia, but I survived that, which means that I can take on this building, no problem.
You are very brave.
And we have introduced a new fear into my repertoire, buying a house or buying a car filled with spiders.
Just burn it.
Yeah. I learned a lot about spiders. They don't like cold. We had a cold freeze, and so yep. I no longer have this
We're okay
problem.
Up here. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're okay. You won't have these. But brown widows are not nearly as aggressive as a black widow.
Good to know. Didn't even know they existed.
I just think that...
I can tell you lots of things about spiders.
We should just get rid of all of them. I don't like any of them.
No. No.
We need them. We no. need spiders.
No. I just get we rid do. Of all the creepy, crawly things around.
Rodents. Get rid of rodents.
Get rid of them all.
Yeah. Spiders are my friend because they eat the bad bugs. I don't like a lot of other bugs.
Yeah. I don't even remember what we were talking about.
Oh. Sorry, yeah, I derailed it.
Infested. So check out Infested. Then the other thing I checked out was Milo on DVD from 1998. It's about Claire and four other preteen girls who witness a boy in a yellow raincoat named Milo who murdered someone. And so years later, Milo, he died. Supposedly he drowns. And now Claire, she's an adult. She's a teacher. She comes back to the school, the elementary school that she went to start teaching. And then she sees a raincoat, a boy wearing a raincoat everywhere that looks just like Milo, you know. So it's also available on YouTube. I used to watch this a lot when I was a kid because it used to come on TV a lot. And I used to think it was so scary. It's not. But I but I love it. It just has like such a weird vibe because it feels like the person who wrote this is a fan of Stephen King and they wanted to like create something. And I think that's really cool. But something I thought, again, that's pretty cool since I keep on saying that word. The kid Milo, we never really see his face. You know, we'll see like an outline. We'll see him from behind and stuff like that. So that's really cool. Normally we'll know that it's him, you know, because we'll see like a kid wearing like a raincoat. And then we'll hear a clicking from the car that's on his bike that he rides around, just lurking around everywhere. So yeah, if you like made-for-TV feel type of horror movies with like supernatural elements and a murderous child running around, this one may be for you. And Mila Kunis, she's in this one. So that was pretty cool to see her. She makes an appearance. She's one of the students. So yeah, that's what I checked out.
Nice.
How about you, Megan?
I watched Infested also, obviously. but then I was looking for kind of comfort watches. I thought about talking for the millionth time how I watched Evil Dead for the millionth time. But instead, I watched The Stepfather, which is on a variety of streaming apps. I watched it on Screenbox. And this one is loosely based on a true crime story in which a man married a widow and with a teenage daughter and... he's got a habit of marrying into single parent families and then murdering them when they don't behave, essentially.
It's a nasty habit you got there.
A nasty habit. Yeah. I love this movie. I feel like it could use more love. I mean, I think it wasn't like it was a flop when it released. I think it was a pretty solid hit, but still, I feel like we don't talk about The Stepfather enough. Terry O'Quinn is so creepy in this movie. Jill Sholin is an underrated scream queen from that era. So many favorites that she was in, but them together playing off of each other. This movie is really good. It's really creepy. Like, I don't know what you would classify it as, serial killer thriller, I guess. But yeah, he's just such a good actor. The opening scene does everything as far as setting up the horror. It never gets that gruesome or bloody again, but it doesn't need to because that opening is so good. So, yeah, I watched that for, like, the 20 billionth time, I think. And then also out this weekend, this Friday in select theaters, and then coming to Shudder in July is Humane, the feature debut by Caitlin Cronenberg. So this one is very different from she's the daughter of David Cronenberg and brother to Brandon Cronenberg. And while those two have films that are a lot alike, this one feels more like a very different, kind of more conventional debut. The plot is basically we've hit our population overload, and now a government has mandated that they've got a year to shed some of the population load. So they're doing volunteer euthanasia programs. And a family dinner erupts into chaos when a father's plan to enlist in the government's new euthanasia program goes horribly awry. This one is very much a single location chamber piece, kind of plays like a stage play, very darkly funny as this rich family, it's Peter Gallagher who plays the dad, and he decides to do this and his wife runs off. And, the collector, the people who have arrived to do this, are demanding a second body since the other one has fled. So now they're turning on each other. It's like a dark, you know, rich siblings that are ready to kill each other so that they, the rest can save, run off with dad's money. So yeah, it's very fun. It's very dark, macabre sense of humor, very good cast. So Jay Baruchel, Emily Hampshire, Peter Gallagher, Enrico Colantoni. Good stuff.
I love him.
Fun. Yeah. He's so good in this.
Nice. Yeah. I had a hard time this last week finding stuff to watch. I don't know. Like I reverted to a lot of comfort watches in the last week, and both of these movies that I've seen before, or that I'm about to talk about, I've watched before. It literally is like, I just haven't talked about them on the show. So
there you go.
First up is 1922's Nosferatu on Roku, which yes, I've talked about tangentially through Shadows of Vampire, etc. But you know, vampire Count Orlok expresses interest in a new residence and real estate agent Hutter's wife. Sometimes I just love IMDb synopsis, but I can't knock it because I don't rewrite them, so it's on me. This is a classic. Like, this is the original vampire movie, right? I'm sure that there's a lot more behind the scenes of why it's not Dracula, why it's Count Orlok, that I'm just not familiar with because I've never looked into the lore. Probably just the rights. From the Stoker estate.
They didn't have rights, so they did this.
Yeah, very similar. Almost the exact same. Kind of to the point where if this movie came out today, there'd probably been a lot of lawsuits and a lot of people like, what are you doing? This is ridiculous. That said, this is pretty iconic as far as movies are concerned. Some of the shots, the stairway shot, the first appearances by Count Orlok, just the lore itself. It's very iconic in the horror space. And I didn't remember it being so long. I can't imagine sitting through a 90-minute movie in 1922. actually sitting in the theater. Plus, it had been freaking terrifying. I was a little bit scared anyway, just watching silent film stars do their thing because of how much they emote.
True.
It's kind of like, wow, are you all just like tweaking right now? Why are you doing this? Like, chill out, calm down. It was funny because my daughter was watching it at night. My daughter wandered into her room into my room while I was watching it. And she's like, what are you watching? I was like, it's like a vampire movie. And she's like, is it scary? I'm like, I mean, there's kind of like, it's kind of creepy. And she was not even familiar with what a silent movie was. Why aren't they talking? I'm like, well, you kind of have to read it because they didn't have the sound technology to do sound at the same time. They would just have like music. And she's like, oh, so it's kind of like watching a movie from another country. So it's like reading subtitles was her context. I'm like, yeah.
It is German, so yes.
Yeah, exactly. So it is what it is. And she watched a little bit and she watched the appearance of Count Orlok and she's like, that's not scary. Which is what she says when she is scared of things. So I don't know. Maybe she wasn't. It wasn't scary. I was like, it's nearly midnight and it is clearly the middle of the day. They just have like a blue filter on the lens or something to make it seem like night, which was very popular in the 80s. Old Tales from the Crypts even did it too. Where it's like,
but
it is
still
not
popular day for night.
Yeah. It's like, it's not nighttime. I don't know who you think you're fooling right now. Just make it in the day. Day's scary too. But again, classic movie. If you can sit through a silent movie, check it out. If you haven't seen it, it's on Roku. I think it's on a lot of stuff actually. It's classic. And then kind of a classic for different reasons. I figured I'd watch 2015's Bone Tomahawk, which is available on Pluto. In the dying days of the Old West, an elderly sheriff and his posse set out to rescue their town doctor from cannibalistic cave dwellers. Which isn't the original impetus, but sure, close enough. This one I was kind of on the fence about, because I've seen debates and listened to discussions that this isn't really a horror movie, because the horror kind of doesn't start until the end, debatably, like how you want to look at it. And it's most of it's shot in the day. There is some night stuff, but a lot of the horror is fully lit or in a cave or something like that. Now, the horror itself, though, the horrifying aspects of it will be entrenched in your mind for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. If you've seen Terrifier, you are familiar with at least one of said scenes.
Do you like pistachios?
You won't after this. But part of why I want to talk about it too is I love the genre mix of this, because this is a Western. Mm-hmm. This is ostensibly a Western, and it feels like a Western. The whole time, it feels like a Western. They're forming a posse. They're going out. All the characters feel as authentic as you generally see in Westerns. You have Kurt Russell, Patrick Wilson, who I'm convinced is in 90% of all movies. Fox, Matt Fox? He was in Lost.
Matthew Fox.
Matthew Fox. A lot of recognizable actors. In it, and yeah,
I love Richard Jenkins.
Really good. And and it's one, and then you kind of get to the end and you're like, oh, these guys, what's wrong with them, why are they doing this, well, why is their throat like that, why does it make that noise? No, I you know, I've talked about it before, I love kind of mixing stuff like genres subtly, instead of it being, you know, like I love horror comedy and stuff like that. You can't really subtly combine those two things. It just kind of is or it isn't. But something like Western horror, where it's a Western that has horrific scenes in it, I really like, especially if you nail the Western part or whatever, or period piece, right? A good period horror like has to feel like you're watching a period piece, and then the horror has to exist within it. And I think they do a great job in it. And it's, if you like Westerns, if you like horror, and you haven't seen Bone Tomahawk, I don't know why, unless you've heard about some of the kills and then you're like, that's why. And then I understand. Because for those of us who had not seen anything like that before and we're watching it and we're just like, okay, we're doing fine. We're cruising. Oh, why? No. What? Wait, why is he like that? Why are you? Shoot. And then your life is changed forever. So. Bone Tomahawk, available on Pluto. All right, before we move on, what did we watch and how did we watch it?
I checked out Infested. It'll be available on Shudder this Friday, and Milo on DVD, but it is also available on YouTube.
I watched The Stepfather on Screambox and Humane, which will be in select theaters this Friday, and then Shudder in July.
Nice. And I saw 1922's Nosferatu on Roku and Bone Tomahawk on Pluto. All right, enough about what we've been watching this week. It's time for Megan to bring us up to speed on the news and trending topics in the world of horror. So what's been going on, Megan?
I feel like it was fairly quiet week last week, but there's definitely some stuff worth talking about. There's a new trailer for The Watchers that dropped today as a recording. So by the time this ep airs, you'll have 2 days to have watched it. But yeah, just 2 months after Ashana Night Shyamalan's debut, which is The Watchers, on the big screen, her dad will be back in theaters with new thriller Trap. So M. Night Shyamalan's new thriller for Warner Brothers, the 16th movie in his Oscar-nominated career thus far, is headed to theaters on August 9th. And the trailer debuted last week online. It also features a performance by rising music star Salika Shyamalan as a fictional pop star, Lady Raven. So, yeah, the whole family's creative. There's also, if you watch the trailer, there's a quick shot of, like, cars moving through the street. And you can see the Watchers on a billboard in the background.
Oh, so
he's
so
put,
cool.
He's kind of put both daughters in this film, essentially, which is pretty neat. But, yeah, the thriller stars Josh Hartnett. He's a dad who takes his teen daughter to attend a pop concert from pop star Lady Raven, which is Salika Shyamalan's character, they realize that they're at the center of a dark and sinister event. So the trailer reveals this, which got people talking, that they revealed the twist. Mm. And I don't think so. First of all, we don't know if there's going to be a twist at all in this movie, because I would argue that maybe half of his movies have twists and half of them don't. I feel like that's being generous. Not every movie of his has a twist. The poor guy is saddled with that reputation. But what the trailer reveals, which is what they want you to know going in, is that Josh Hartnett's character may be the butcher. The trap is that the concert is an elaborate plan it's designed to catch the sadistic serial killer, which he seems to be, the sadistic serial killer. I don't know what the movie will be, but I'm very intrigued. I mean I'm down with whatever he wants to put out, even if I don't always vibe with it. Did you guys watch the trailer at all?
I did watch the trailer.
I did, but I, oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to just quickly just say I'm excited about it. I just love kind of like what you said already, that the whole family is just creative.
Yes.
Yeah, I strangely enough, I only watched the first half of the trailer initially.
Oh, okay.
And then I went back and watched the whole trailer, and I was like, oh, I wouldn't have had any idea. Like, yeah. I got about halfway through, and then I would have potentially seen it and been like, what? This is amazing. What a twist. Yeah. I just really love that Josh Hartnett has been popping up in more and more stuff. You know, he kind of disappeared for a while from Hollywood, and now he's kind of, not a resurgence, I think he's just a little choosier with his roles, and he's just doing stuff that speaks to him, and I love it. I think he's a great actor, and, you know, we always root for, Minnesotans always root for the local boys. So, aww. Yeah.
So yeah, there's that. And then obviously Abigail released in theaters last week, which meant that a lot of the cast and crew are doing the press circuits. So we got some pretty interesting quotes out of that. So Ready or Not 2 is now in development with Adam Robitaille, the director behind Taking of Deborah Logan, Insidious Last Key, Escape Room, Escape Room 2. He's in talks to direct the sequel to the 2019 box office hit, with Samara Weaving returning to star. So that's in development right now, which means it's not like under production. They're still working out all of that stuff. So last week, Tyler Gillette, one of the directors, told EW during the press circuit, it's getting figured out. That's what we'll say. Ready or Not 2 is getting figured out. What we can say is that there's a script that is absolutely fucking banger of a sequel. And however it gets made, in whatever capacity we are helping it get made, we are so excited that it's happening. I don't think we knew after making Ready or Not that there would be so much story left to tell. We're so proud of what the first movie is. We're so proud of what the sequel is. We're really excited, and fingers crossed that it gets made. Matt Bettinelli-Ulpin added, and with Searchlight and Samara, they're not going to let it down. So, yeah.
Cannot wait.
Yeah, I suppose I could see there being more story to Ready or Not, for sure. Making it better than the first one, I can't wait to see where they're going to go with it, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I love Samara Weaving, so yeah, anytime she's in horror, I'm like, all right, I'll give it a shot.
It's such a great ending to the first one.
Yeah, yeah. In-laws, am I right? So yeah, and then just to, not everything is new. Sometimes what's old is new again. Yeah. So, yeah. This Friday is Alien Day. LV-426 is now, April 26th is officially Alien Day. So before Fede Alvarez's Alien Romulus gives the franchise a brand new installment this August, Ridley Scott's original horror classic Alien is heading back to theaters nationwide. The Alien 45th anniversary re-release is going to haunt theaters for Alien Day on Friday, April 26th. And you can head over to Fandango to get listings and tickets if you want to go see it on the big screen. So in celebration of the 45th anniversary, the film's returning to theaters, obviously. And before the film, attendees will see Alien, a conversation with Ridley Scott and Fede Alvarez, where Fede Alvarez sits down with Ridley Scott to discuss the film that started the iconic franchise. And just as a reminder, Alien Romulus releases in theaters on August 16th. They did release like a tiny snippet of this clip or this conversation online where Ridley Scott's talking to Fede Alvarez about that iconic chestburster scene. So just expect like a full-on conversation of that before seeing the original Alien on the big screen this Friday. So yeah.
Okay, so I know we don't normally do this, but I saw a rumor earlier today, and it piggybacks off last week. I don't know if it's true, but supposedly Melissa Barrera of Scream 5 and 6, like noteworthiness, who will not be in the next Scream, would like to be in the Scary Movie reboot. And
did they say, because I saw a lot of people hoping for that.
So that might be what it was. And then like someone clickbaited it and said she wanted to be.
Yeah, because she
I think they should fight for her to be in it. Like, they should really try it. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, because I think that, yeah, people kind of wanted that because they saw that she just started following Marlon Wayans, or they followed each other or something like that. So somebody was webbing the two together.
Gotcha.
But we don't even know if Marlon Wayans is associated tied to this reboot at all. Yeah, I think.
Unless he gets EP credits or something.
There's definitely a possibility where sometime last week during the junket, they were like, we really like this fan casting. Would you be open? And she's like, sure.
Nice.
I'm assuming that's going to be the gist of that rumor there.
Well, for now.
For now.
All right, listeners, your turn. How many Shyamalans can fit in one movie?
All of them.
Well, we're going to find out. Have you seen a movie that you love that you want the other listeners to know about? Let's hear about them. You can call or text us at 224-475-1040. The number is also in the show notes, or feel free to email us at bedisgustingpodcast@gmail.com. Finally, Xena is going to make all our lives easier in the sea of horror movie options and clue us in what's appearing soon that we should be watching. So, Xena, what should we be watching?
So all these movies, they come out on Friday the 26th. So Caitlin Cronenberg's Humane will be available in limited theaters. Then we also have the fairy tale horror comedy Cinderella's Revenge. This one will be in limited theaters as well. So in this one, Cinderella is pushed too far by her stepsisters and stepmother, which causes her to abandon her glass slippers and ask her fairy godmother for the help seeking bloody revenge. So that's pretty cool.
John Wick for cross with Cinderella. That'd be amazing.
That's so cool.
That'd be great.
I just immediately picture her breaking that glass slipper and using it as a
I feel like that was in a movie. It was like it was an old Tales from the Crypt, stabbing a guy in the eye with her high-heeled shoe.
Yeah Elvira did that.
There you go.
High heel with a stiletto.
Single white female. That happened in that too.
We got it.
Okay. Then we also have the Indonesian horror, Dancing Village, The Curse Begins. This will also be in limited theaters. This is directed by Kimo Stambul. He also directed The Queen of Black Magic. So in this one, a mysterious presence terrorizes the citizens of a remote Indonesian village. And then we have Bloodline Killer. This will be available on VOD. Maura Cole tries to rebuild her shattered life after the murder of her family at the hands of her deranged and obsessed cousin. Infested will be available on Shudder. We also have The Last Drive-In Halloween Special Marathon on Shudder TV, so you'll be able to check it out all day long on April 26th, from 5:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so then that's when the new episode will begin. And then also on Shudder, we have Halfway to Halloween. So pretty much it celebrates the 6-month countdown to our favorite holiday with 2 days of Halloween themed films. So from April 29th at 6:45 a.m. through April 30th. And then as always, Screenbox, Bloody Disgusting TV is available for you.
And that's the Bloody Disgusting podcast for this week, everyone. If you'd like to read more from Megan, you can check out her reviews at bloodydisgusting.com and on Twitter at HauntedMeg. Xena can be found on our own website, realqueenofhorror.com, and the YouTube channel of the same name, or at Lovely Xena on Twitter. And you can hear me on my weekly horror narration podcast, Creepy, where I may or may not still be trapped in a bear trap. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app, and feel free to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at BeDisgustingPod, or drop us an email at BeDisgustingPodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out all things Bloody Disgusting on TikTok at BeDisgusting. So for this week, I'm John.
I'm Megan.
I'm Xena.
Grab some popcorn, cozy up on the couch, and watch something you love. Just make sure it's something bloody.